All right, welcome in to another edition of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham, as we get episode 8 underway and week 3 underway coming up this weekend as we have plenty to get into, plenty of big matchups on the horizon to get you ready for your weekend. We'll get into that later in the show as we also make our weekly picks at the very end of the show. Got to bounce back. Just had a 3-7 week against the spread in week 2. It fall to 8-12 overall. We're starting slow, but we're going to pick things up this week. All that straight ahead later on in the show. We got to start this week, though. A little week 2 recap action. Some Big 12 takeaways. Some national takeaways. Big game in College Station. I know we'll get into that. Team out of the SEC continuing to impress. Some of that coming up in just a few minutes, but I want to start in the Big 12. I've got 3 big takeaways before we get to our my national points, and I want to start with this. Oklahoma and West Virginia look like the teams to beat in the Big 12 so far. Oklahoma completely overwhelmed UCLA. UCLA fought pretty well early on in that one, but it was clear who the better team was. Kyler Murray, another magnificent day, 19 of 33 throwing the football, just spreading the ball over the yard. Did throw a pick later in the game, but 306 yards, 3 touchdowns, QBR of 91, ran for 69 yards and 2 touchdowns. This offense is not missing a beat without Baker Mayfield. UCLA showed out well in this one early on, but Oklahoma overall did its thing defensively, continuing to do a pretty good job holding UCLA and a Chip Kelly offense to 21 points. CeeDee Lamb, 7 catches, 146 yards. Marquise Brown, 4 catches, 88 yards, both of them scoring a touchdown. Just explosive offense coming out of Norman. And if anyone who thought this thing was going to slow down significantly without Baker Mayfield, that does not appear to be the case. They haven't been severely tested yet, but they continue to roll. Sad news coming out of this one, though. Running back Rodney Anderson left with a knee injury. Didn't look good at the time. Well, it's not good. Torn ACL, Lincoln Riley announced on Sunday he will miss the rest of the season. We'll see how that impacts the Sooners moving forward. They've got some other backs and TJ Pledger, obviously Trey Sermon, who did some good things last year. I would continue to expect Kyler Murray to get a heavier dose in the run game, but Rodney Anderson's a special player, and it's a sad story. It's his third season-ending injury in 4 years. He's really battled a lot in Norman. I would expect him to battle back one more time as he's got a year left of eligibility. Just a sad story for him, but we'll hope to see him back on the field in 2019. I'm curious to see as Oklahoma goes to Ames this Saturday to see how that attack looks against a pretty good defense in Iowa State. We'll get to the Cyclones in a minute, but certainly a big blow there. But otherwise, the offense continues to be explosive. Good win over UCLA. West Virginia as well, they continue to roll. Youngstown State, obviously not an explosive offense, but a team in general, FCS. But a team that West Virginia can't afford to overlook. They take care of business without problem. 52-17. Will Greer leads the nation in passing touchdowns with 9, through 4 of them on Saturday. 21-26, 332 in those 4 touchdowns. Just really efficient early on this year for Will Greer, which is a good sign for the Mountaineers. They also had a 100-yard runner in Brown. Petaway ran for 77 yards as well. That's going to be the key if they can find consistent balance with the run game. You know they're going to throw it all over the yard. They've also found a third receiver in this Sims kid, I think. 8 catches, 119 yards. Pretty good showing there. David Sills, only 2 catches, 33 yards. If he's doing that and they're putting up 52 points, they're doing something right. Gary Jennings, they made fun of him last year for only having 1 receiving TD. Well, how about this? 6 catches, 97 yards, 3 touchdowns on Saturday. He's becoming more of a red zone option in addition to Sills. They look good. The defense looks improved. Not great news for Saturday. Their game against North Carolina State canceled due to the hurricane expected to hit the East Coast this weekend, so they're not going to get that game in. Could hurt the resume a little bit, not having that extra Power 5 opponent, but it is what it is, and obviously better safe than sorry, so they're not going to get that game in. I know a couple of other games nationally have been canceled. I think Virginia Tech, East Carolina, another one that's been wiped out, so we'll see if any other games get wiped on the Week 3 schedule again. We'll preview some of Week 3 coming on a little bit later in the show. So that's takeaway number one. Oklahoma and West Virginia continue to roll. They look like the class of the Big 12. Still think TCU is the mix. They played a little bit more of a slot fest against their rival SMU. A few more question marks for a young team coming out of Fort Worth. Obviously, they've got their big matchup against Ohio State on Saturday. We'll take a look at that one heavily later on in the show. TCU did what it had to do against SMU, though. But again, Oklahoma, West Virginia continuing to roll. Takeaway number two, Kansas State and Iowa State, disappointing. I thought Kansas State would bounce back after not playing very well against South Dakota in week one. I didn't necessarily think that they'd beat Mississippi State in week two, but I thought they'd show better. Again, the offense continued to struggle in a major way. They lost 31-10 at home, and it really wasn't ever really competitive. Nick Fitzgerald ran all over him for 159 yards. Kylan Hill ran for 211 yards on him. Look at the offense, though, for Kansas State. Skylar Thompson got the start yet again. 7 for 17, 86 yards and a touchdown. Alex Delton, ineffective. 2 for 4, 14 yards and a pick. Both QBRs under 30 for those two. They ran the ball okay with Alex Barnes, 17 carries, 75 yards. But if this K-State offense can't sustain drives, they're just going to struggle, because while they're a solid defensive team overall, 31 points in Mississippi State isn't horrible. But if they're not sustaining drives, they're just going to get worn out by teams with more talent. And that's exactly what Mississippi State has. K-State's got issues. They can't block up front. The quarterbacks have been ineffective. They're having trouble replacing Byron Pringle at receiver. Zuber's supposed to be the main guy. 2 catches, 11 yards. Not really productive in the passing game. I mean, combined Delton and Thompson, 9 for 21 for 100 yards. That's not going to get it done. And I know Mississippi State, they got some boys on the defense. I can't remember the guy's name, but the defensive tackle they got, he's legit. He's going to be a first-round guy. But to throw for 100 yards against that team, that is not a stout defense in the SEC compared to the LSUs, the Alabamas, and the Auburns of the world. And at home, not a promising performance from Kansas State. I think they've, for me, they've slipped back in the hierarchy in the Big 12. I thought they were a sneaky top 4 or 5 team. Maybe not so fast. They're going to have to get things on track pretty quickly if they want to turn this thing around. 1-1 start really could be 0-2 after they were down 24-12 to South Dakota. Not impressed with Bill Snyder's group early on this season. Also, Iowa State, really good defensive performance on Saturday against their rival in Iowa, but 13-3 loss could get absolutely nothing going offensively. Kyle Kemp, pretty decent percentage numbers, 15-21, but just 126 yards, everything underneath. I know he got sacked a few times. They had issues blocking up front. He left the game with a knee injury early in the fourth, I believe. Zeb Nolan came in, 4 of 10, 43 yards. He wasn't any more effective. But it all starts with David Montgomery, the running back. He really opens things up. 17 carries for 44 yards. Iowa clearly had a game plan. They were going to stuff the run and put pressure on Kemp. He was not able to execute at a high enough level. No chunk plays on the day. Longest play of the day, 31 yards in a pass. They had another 23-yard completion. Everything else, just dink and dunk. Could not get anything going. Defensively, I thought they did a pretty good job. I mean, the offense did not put them in any good situations, but they held Iowa to 13 points on the road. I figured, hell, if you're going to hold this, if you told me they'd hold Iowa to 13, Iowa State's winning this game. Because I think Iowa's better than this offensively. I like Kemp, the quarterback. Montgomery's a good back. They just got to figure things out up front. I think they'll bounce back and be fine. But this is an opportunity to get a quality win in non-conference play. You got to wonder, with the weather wiping out their first game, if that affected them at all. Rustiness, it's hard to say for sure. All I know is that Iowa came ready to play. Iowa State, not so much. Third down, 4 for 14, just didn't get it done offensively. 3 points isn't going to beat anybody, especially in today's college football. Not a great couple of outings for somewhat winnable games in the Big 12. This one definitely winnable for Iowa State. Maybe not so much Kansas State and Mississippi State, but still an opportunity at home for the Wildcats. Didn't get it done, wasn't very competitive. Iowa State a little more competitive, but on the losing end of things, so bit of a big mixed bag again for the Big 12 in week two. Third takeaway, good for the Kansas Jayhawks. I got to give them a clap. They snap a 46-game road losing streak. You heard that right. They had not won a road game out of their last 46 tries. 2009 against UTEP, the last time Kansas won a true road game. Good for David Beatty. Good for these players as they took care of business against Central Michigan, 31-7 too. I mean, going away, Look, I'll be honest, and I said it on this podcast last week. When Kansas lost to Nicholls at home last week, I thought they were going 0-12. I said, if you can't beat Nicholls at home, you're not beating Central Michigan on the road, and you're probably not beating Rutgers this week. All of a sudden, Rutgers, they're not very good. Maybe you got a chance to beat them at home and get a second win or in the early going. Impressive bounce back for Kansas. I know it's Central Michigan, but you know what? Any team Kansas beats these days is a good sign. Steven Sims, some of those guys, Daniel Wise, players who have been there for a while, guys who have stuck it out. Good for those guys, man. I mean, it's been hard to watch. Let's be honest. No one wants to see any program endure the amount of losses and blowout losses and embarrassment that Kansas has endured. They needed to pick me up after last week, and they got it against Central Michigan on the road. That's a happy flight home, I will tell you that. So good for the Jayhawks. So again, three big 12 takeaways. Oklahoma and West Virginia continue to impress. Kansas State and Iowa State disappoint. Really could throw Texas in there too, as they, after a 21-point lead over Tulsa, they sneak away with a 28-21 win. I'm tired of talking about the Horns. They're boring. Tom Herman's not impressive. They play USC this week. We'll take a look at that one later on, but not impressed with what I've seen from the Horns. They're in the disappointing category as well. And kudos to Kansas for snapping that 46-game losing streak. Couple more throwaways. TCU, slop fest over SMU. I mentioned it briefly. Two-hour delay. It was wet. It was sloppy early, but they pulled away 42-12. Ultimately, they did what they needed to do. Sean Robinson got a little banged up at the end of that game. He's expected to be a full go, though, against Ohio State. We'll see what they can do on Saturday. We'll discuss that one coming up in a bit. Baylor, Oklahoma State, they roll over inferior opponents. Texas Tech, too. They bounce back over Lamar in a major way, 77-0. So good for those squads. They both have challenging tests coming up this week. We'll get into that in the Pick'em segment, as we'll pick most of the Big 12 games this week. Heavy Big 12 schedule, especially on a national stage. You got TCU, Ohio State, Texas, USC, Oklahoma State, Boise State. We'll pick all of them coming up later in the show. Do have a couple of notes nationally here as well. I want to get to this game in College Station because, you know, once you saw the weather being rainy, you wonder if this could be a night where Jimbo Fisher can steal one. Early on, they looked good before Clemson weathered the storm, took a 14-3 lead in that one. But full credit to Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M for sticking with it in this one. They battled for four quarters with the Clemson Tigers. Fell short 28-26, but they had a legitimate shot to get this thing into overtime late a couple of times. First time, they were down 28-20, and the Texas A&M receiver tried to reach for the pylon. It gets popped out, goes out of the back of the end zone for a touchback. It looked close. It looked like it may have flown out of bounds at the one. There wasn't enough to overturn the call. But then the A&M defense stands tall, gets them a second chance, and Kellen Mond, who had a terrific game, led them down, threw a bullet in the back of the end zone to get that thing to 28-26, and then the two-point conversion fell short, and Clemson was able to hold on. But Jimbo Fisher, he's brought a different attitude to College Station. Kevin Sumlin, he did an okay job. He recruited fairly well. Jimbo's next level, though. He can do those things. He can recruit. And it's one thing to be able to recruit. It's another thing to have players and know what you're going to do with them. And I think that was part of Kevin Sumlin's issue. You saw it with the quarterbacks. I mean, Kyler Murray, Kyle Allen, they all transferred because there wasn't a clear game plan. It wasn't clear who the guy was going to be. Jimbo Fisher, he comes in. Nick Starkel was expected to start. He says, no, Kellen Mond is my guy. Dual threat guy, big frame, tall quarterback. He can throw it. He can run it. 430 passing yards against Clemson on Saturday. That's impressive, man. I mean, A&M, I don't know what they're going to end up win-loss-wise this year. I know this. They're going to be far more competitive. Jimbo's the real deal. I don't know if they're going to be competing for SEC titles in the near future or at all. I know what, though, man. They're far more competitive. They're entertaining. I found myself pulling for A&M trying to get that thing into overtime late in that game, and that is saying a lot. I have not been a fan of their program over the years, but I like what Jimbo's doing down there. Mond is doing good things at quarterback. He's just a sophomore, going to get better and better. They get Alabama in a couple of weeks. I'll be real curious to see if they compete for a second time in a month against a national championship contender. Kudos to A&M, man. And also Kelly Bryant, quarterback out of Clemson, He's been dealing with a lot. Trevor Lawrence has been getting some snaps, the blue chip freshman player. He made some clutch plays in the second half to not let A&M steal that one. I think Dabo Swinney should go with him from here on out. Trevor Lawrence is the future, but to me, Kelly Bryant's the present. He's the guy. He made every time that Clemson needed to make a play, Kelly Bryant made it. So that's what a championship player does. That's what a championship program does. Clemson did just enough. But Texas A&M is going to be a factor in the SEC, not only this year, but moving forward. And by the way, look at Willie Taggart, the guy who replaced Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. They almost lost to Samford this week after getting embarrassed by Virginia Tech. And by the way, Kevin Sumlin, those of you who wanted to keep him at Aggieland, Arizona's 0-2. He has broken Khalil Tate. If Khalil Tate is never the same, I'll never forgive Kevin Sumlin. I mean, I don't know what he's trying. He's trying to make him a pocket quarterback. It is really hard to watch. They get obliterated by Houston on Saturday. I think the final score was 38-18. It wasn't that close. I promise you that. It was 38-0 in the third quarter. Arizona's got issues. Kevin Sumlin's got issues. Willie Taggart in Florida State, he's got issues. Jimbo Fisher, he's got a little something going in Aggieland. So good for them. One more thing. Georgia's legit, guys. I don't know about the rest of the SEC West. Georgia just overwhelmed a pretty decent squad in South Carolina on the road. 41-17, Jake Fromm looks sharp. They're flying all over the place defensively. Forced a couple of picks of Jake Bentley, one of the better quarterbacks in the country. I think you can throw them in the mix in terms of programs who reload, not rebuild. Them, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson. Those are the four. Georgia's in there now. They reload, man. They reload. They're going to be good. That Alabama-Georgia game, if it ends up playing out that way in the SEC title game, that's going to be a good one. I was really impressed by Georgia on Saturday. Kirby Smart's running a good program down there. They're going to be a factor for years to come. Georgia's legit. Michigan State, USC, they are not. Arizona State got Michigan State in a little Pac-12 after dark action. Kudos to Herm Edwards. I like Manny Wilkins, the Sun Devils quarterback. He outplayed Brian Lewerke. They were able to get that thing done, 16-13 in the upset there. USC, never in that game against Stanford. They lose 17-3. It really could have been worse. Stanford coasted after getting a two-possession lead. I'll be interested to see what USC brings to the table in Austin with a couple of desperate teams teeing it up on Saturday. Speaking of Texas-USC, that's one of many big matchups on the horizon in Week 3. We look ahead to some of those matchups, and then we'll wrap this thing up with our Week 3 picks here on Episode 8 of the Four Verticals Podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. All that straight ahead here on the Four Verticals Podcast. Up in, we'll call it 15 minutes or so, we'll make our weekly picks, pick week three of the college football season. I got to bounce back after a 3-7 week against the spread in week two, 8-12 overall in the season. We'll bounce back this week as we pick 10 games, 7 involving Big 12 teams this week, and then 3 nationally not involving the Big 12. We'll do that coming up after this segment as we wrap things up here on the Four Verticals Podcast. But right now, let's look ahead and dive deeper into some of those matchups. Massive week three of the college football season, probably the biggest week in terms of non-conference matchups in this year. We got number 4 Ohio State and 15th ranked TCU. We got number 22 USC and Texas. Actually, a couple of good conference games. Number 12 LSU at number 7 Auburn. Number 17 Boise State going to Oklahoma State, who's slid into the top 25 at number 24. I think that's a sneaky good game. A couple of games in the Pac-12. We'll get to some of those here in a minute. Let's start off the top with the one I mentioned, though. It's just down the road at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Jerry World, as some may call it. Fourth-ranked Ohio State, the Buckeyes, taking on number 15 TCU. It's well-documented, these two going at it. 2014, anybody remember? Ohio State jumping into the Final Four to get into the college football playoff where they ultimately won a national title. Trevon Boykin, TCU, and those boys top 10 defensive team, top 10 offensive team, only team in the nation that could say that, led the country in point differential that year and turnover margin. They dropped from 3-6 after a 55-3 win over Iowa State. Still some bad blood there. Gary Patterson said today at his news conference that 2014 it was then, this is now, it's not connected. And I think he's right for the most part. It's all new players. There's no one left behind from either of those teams unless there was freshmen back then that redshirted and they're fifth-year players now. But even then, no one of significance. There's no bad blood there. But it will be interesting to see that these two teams are finally playing all these years later, because for me, those by the end of the year that year, and I'll stand by this until the day I die, the best two teams in college football were Ohio State and TCU. And I still think the committee could not decide, so they just went with Ohio State, who beat Wisconsin 59-0 in the Big Ten title game, made it easy for them. Those two teams playing that year, that would have been fun. We'll see what they bring to the table on Saturday night. Some keys of the game for TCU: can the offensive line, this young offensive line, who's looked pretty good through a couple of games, granted against SMU and Southern, hadn't given up a sack though, going up against one of the best fronts in college football, including defensive end Joey Bosa, can they contain and block well enough to give Sean Robinson enough time to deliver the football? And then that's the second part of this. Sean Robinson, the young quarterback for TCU, I've seen some good things from him through two games. I've also seen a couple of throws where you're just holding your breath, hoping that doesn't go the other way. Can't make those decisions against Ohio State. They will capitalize and pick those off. Got to play smarter. And to me, if I'm Gary Patterson, if I'm Sean Robinson or Sonny Cumbie, and I'm talking to Sean Robinson, here's the deal, man. And I know they've preached this a lot. You know, Sean's had to learn to get out of bounds and get down compared to at DeSoto when he was bigger than everybody. He could just run over people. This is a game, though. You know, if it's 3rd and 7, you don't run out of bounds 2 yards short of the sticks. You're going to have to put your nose down and get those extra couple of yards. You leave your body on the line in a game like this. I mean, every drive is going to matter. Every play is going to matter. Possessions are critical. Got to move the chains, especially if you're TCU early on in this game. I think it's important to get off to a good start. Be interested to see how much Robinson, if he sees a lane, if he takes off with it. Wouldn't be shocked if he ran between 15 and 20 times on Saturday. So his play, along with the offensive line play, is a key for TCU. Also, can they get after Dwayne Haskins a little bit? He's been very comfortable, very impressive for Ohio State. The passing game is much improved for the Buckeyes now that JT Barrett is gone. Loved what JT did at Ohio State, but he is not Dwayne Haskins throwing the football. They've got a vertical passing attack now. We know about the running backs, Mike Weber, J.K. Dobbins. They're going to be able to run the football a little bit. TCU's got to force Haskins to beat them, though. If they can contain the two backs and Haskins from running the football, make Haskins throw, I think they'll live with the results, even though he's been really good early on. You just wonder, though, with these two young quarterbacks going at it, which guy's going to flinch first? You know, who's going to get hit in the mouth first and respond? Who's going to respond from an early game turnover? Interested to see how this chess match plays out between TCU and Ohio State, and both these young quarterbacks getting after it. Ohio State, 13-point favorites. I think that's pretty high. Obviously, they're very talented, but TCU, Gary Patterson's going to use that to his advantage all week. The disrespect factor. And, you know, TCU feels like they've been disrespected for years, despite the success now that they've had in the Big 12 since joining the league, really being the second most consistent team after Oklahoma. I'm interested to see this thing play out, man, because if TCU can weather the first 8 to 10 minutes, you know Ohio State's going to look to take a couple of shots early on. If they could get out to a lead or even just stay in touch after the first quarter, I like TCU's chances to make this a four-quarter game. I'm not saying I like their chances to necessarily win, but I think 13's a little disrespectful. 13-point favorites. TCU's got good athletes. Jalen Reagor at receiver, he would start at Ohio State. He's a good player. The running backs, Shewa Olanolua and Darius Anderson, those are good players as well. You know, their offensive line's been sharp. Defensively, we know what Gary Patterson can do, and those players, Nico Small in the back end, Ben Banigou, the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year at defensive end. If he can get after Haskins, that'll be a big factor. So it's going to be interesting. These TCU kids are going to play with a chip on their shoulder. You know they've had this game circled for a while. Big one for Ohio State before Urban Meyer comes back next week. This is a big game in terms of the college football playoff. Both these teams could use a win. Big 12 could really use a win here. They've come up short in some opportunities early on in this season. Obviously, if Ohio State gets this one, they continue to be the favorite in the Big Ten. I like Ohio State in this game, I think they're the better team, but I fully expect TCU to be in this one for four quarters. I'm excited to watch this thing play out on Saturday. Ultimately, probably going to come down to which quarterback makes more plays. I think Haskins just has a little more around him. I'll make my official pick coming up later in the segment, but a lot of moving parts going on at Jerry World on Saturday. I'll be there in action, so I'll report on this one next week on episode 9 of the Four Verticals podcast, but it's going to be a good one. Two young talented teams, two young talented quarterbacks, some good running backs, good receivers, good defenses, just good quality teams across the board. I'm excited to watch Ohio State and TCU on Saturday. Less excited to watch USC in Texas, which will also be taking place at 7 o'clock that night. On paper, again, coming into the year, we couldn't wait for this one. It was a classic last year. Both teams off to a disappointing start, though. Texas losing to Maryland in week one, USC losing to Stanford in week two in a non-competitive effort this past week. Texas 3.5-point favorites. We'll get to my pick later on, but this is a big game for both these teams, man. It really is. Tom Herman could use a win like this. There's some negative energy going on with the thought of their program down there in Austin right now. You know, they get out to a 21-0 lead over Tulsa at the half last week, let the foot off the gas, squeak by with a 28-21 win. Not very impressed with how they finished that game on Saturday. USC, again, not competitive against Stanford, lost 17-3, but it really wasn't even that close. Stanford coasted in that game after getting out to a 14-0 lead. This is a big win for, or big game for Clay Helton in USC. Big game for Tom Herman in Texas. This could really sway one of their seasons and the outlook of the program moving forward. I'm really interested to see this thing play out. And I think, similar to Ohio State and TCU, which quarterback will make more plays? Sam Ehlinger, he's been known to make the big mistake. JT Daniels, youngest quarterback to start at USC in a long time. I think he's still 17 years old. If not, he's just turned 18. I know he reclassified to enroll this year. It's going to be interesting, man. Going to be interesting. I'm not really high on either of these two teams. I know this, though. It's a big game from both. Winner of that game could really bounce back and get their seasons on track. The loser, a lot of questions are going to be surrounding the losing head coach of this one. For Texas, you just hope they can get a win for Tom Herman and slow down and just get that heat to cool off a little bit, because I know he's feeling it up there after an uninspiring 1-1 start for Texas down there in Austin. So USC and Texas also at 7 o'clock. You know the crowd will be bumping at DKR, another big one in the Big 12. Also, one more game in the Big 12, or a couple more games in the Big 12 I really want to look at. Number 5, Oklahoma at Iowa State. This is an interesting one because for a couple of reasons. Last year, Iowa State goes into Norman and upsets Oklahoma. You know Oklahoma is going to be motivated. Mostly, though, I'm interested to see how this Sooners offense looks for two reasons. One, first legitimate defense they'll play in 2018 as they faced an Iowa State team that gave up less than 21 points a game a year ago. Also, Rodney Anderson's out for the year, the running back for Oklahoma. I mentioned it earlier, dynamic back, maybe the best in the Big 12. He's done. We'll see how this offense looks without him. Iowa State's looking to bounce back offensively. Kyle Kemp, we'll see if he gives it a go. I think he will play with the knee injury on Saturday that he suffered against Iowa. 11 a.m. kick, 2 in Ames. Things can get weird up there. I think Oklahoma will be focused, though, to take care of business. I'll be interested to see if Iowa State can get some things going offensively. So that's one of the 11 a.m. kicks to keep an eye on there. Also, maybe the best undercard, if you will, on Saturday. Number 17, Boise State at number 24, Oklahoma State. I've been down on Oklahoma State coming into this season, but I'm starting to shift a little bit, especially considering Kansas State and Iowa State starts. This would be a big one for Mike Gundy if he could get it. Flying under the radar without Mason Rudolph and James Washington. He's cut the mullet. It seems like it's all business now. Taylor Cornelius taking over for Mason Rudolph has been really impressive in two games. Justice Hill's been good. Boise State, though, they're a really good team. I like the quarterback, Brett Rypien, a senior quarterback. They're good defensively. This is a big one for Mike Gundy. If he could get this one, get themselves some momentum going into Big 12 play, That's going to be interesting to watch. I'll be interested to see if Cornelius can continue the explosive offense going against a legitimate opponent in Boise State. Big game for Boise, too. If they can win this one, they'll be in line to have a chance to be the top group of five team to get that New Year's Six spot for the G5. So that's a big one in Stillwater on Saturday. 2:30 kick, really flying under the radar. I'll be keeping my eye on that one. A couple of games outside of the Big 12. Number 7, Auburn, taking on number 12, LSU. It's at the Plains in Auburn. Both teams getting off to a good start. LSU with that big win over Miami in week one. Auburn obviously picking up that win against Washington. Joe Burrow bringing some steadiness to the quarterback position at LSU, something they haven't had in a while. This will be another good test for him. Jarrett Stidham's been steady early on. Auburn's done what they've needed to do in the early going. I'll be curious to see if LSU can repeat this performance that they had against Miami and if Miami was legitimate or not, because if they can, and if Joe Burrow proves that he's not just another guy, that he's actually a solid quarterback to go with what they have running the football and defensively under Ed Orgeron, LSU might be a force this year in the SEC, or at least a factor. This is a big game in the SEC West, because the loser of this game in the West is behind the eight ball already. And let's face it, the West is very, very good again. I said it last week. I think it proved to be more so true this week. SEC West, still the best division in college football. Texas A&M proved that even more with their performance against Clemson. Ole Miss has been good. Alabama's terrific. Auburn, LSU. Arkansas is the only bad team in the SEC West. Mississippi State had a nice win over Kansas State. This is a tough division. You lose a game early in the SEC West, if you're LSU or Auburn, you were behind the eight ball and you were not going to get to the title game. This is a huge game for both these programs if they want to be a factor in November trying to get to that SEC title game in Atlanta. They got to get this one on Saturday. Auburn, LSU, got to give Auburn the edge. They're at home. Jarrett Stidham, more veteran quarterback there than Joe Burrow. But we'll see what Burrow brings. He's been impressive so far. Can he deliver on the road on Saturday? I'm going to lean Auburn in this one. I'll make my official pick in a minute. But that's the biggest game of the week outside of the Big 12. One more in the SEC that I'm intrigued by. Number 1, Alabama at Ole Miss. Is Ole Miss any good? That's, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but Jordan Tamu looked good against Texas Tech a couple weeks ago. Ole Miss has got issues defensively, though. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying they can challenge Alabama. I'll be interested to see if they can move the football, though, against that Alabama defense. I think they'll be able to. They got embarrassed last year, 66-3 in Tuscaloosa. They're at home this time in Oxford. Again, I like Tamu, the quarterback. Obviously, Tua Tagovailoa for Alabama. He has been terrific in the early going as he is settling in as quarterback one over Jalen Hurts. I fully expect Alabama to win, but I'm interested to see if Ole Miss can compete. And then a little Pac-12 after dark action. Number 10, Washington at Utah. Like Oklahoma State and Boise State in the Big 12, this is a sneaky early game in the Pac-12, as this is actually an all Pac-12 game, obviously, with Washington and Utah. Utah's given Washington problems the last couple years. They've challenged them. They haven't quite got over that hump, but if they can get this thing done on Saturday, Washington's out of the playoff. If you're the Pac-12, you need Washington to win this game. You need Washington to keep winning and keep the Pac-12's playoff hopes alive. I mean, obviously, you got Stanford, you got Oregon, a couple of other teams that are going to be in the mix. But you can't have your premier team on paper suffering a second loss in September. That would not be good. So I think even higher-ups in the Pac-12 are pulling for Washington in this one. But, you know, 9 o'clock kick in Utah, that crowd's going to be bumping. Utah doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They're a team that doesn't beat themselves typically. So I'll be keeping my eye on that one, as that game will keep me up until well past midnight as a little Pac-12 after dark action. So we will see, man. There's a lot of big games on the schedule. I think the two biggest ones, TCU and Ohio State, and then obviously in the SEC, you got LSU and Alabama. In terms of conference races, that is the biggest one. But in terms of college football ramifications, TCU and Ohio State, if the Frogs can pull an upset, Big 12's playoff chances all of a sudden are looking a lot better. So that's the game of the week for me. I think it's down the road in Arlington. TCU taking on Ohio State. College game day, obviously, going to be in Fort Worth on TCU's campus. We will see if the Horned Frogs can battle with the mighty Buckeyes for 60 minutes on Saturday night. That's my look ahead to week three. Let's pick some of those games and some more as we get into the pick 'em segment of the week. I got to bounce back after a rough week two. We make our picks next. 10 games on the schedule, 7 involving Big 12 teams. We do it next on the Four Verticals podcast as episode 8 rolls along. Wrapping things up here on the Four Verticals podcast the same way we always do. It's time to make our weekly picks. Got to bounce back after a rough week two. We only went 3-7 against the spread. We do it as we always do. 10 games. Usually it's going to be 5 Big 12 and 5 nationally, but there's so many big national games involving the Big 12 that there's 7 games involving the Big 12 and then 3 that are not involving the Big 12. So we'll start with some of the smaller Big 12 games, get into the bigger ones, and then get into a couple of national games toward the end here. So 8-12 overall against the spread through 2 weeks, looking to bounce back this week. Let's start with a couple of middling Power 5 programs. Rutgers at Kansas. Kansas, of course, getting that huge win at Central Michigan. First true road win since 2009 for the Kansas Jayhawks. Congrats again to David Beatty and those players. They deserve something good. I truly thought they were on the track to 0-12. They actually have a decent chance to get 2 wins in the first 3 weeks. 2.5-point favorites against Rutgers coming in. Rutgers just got obliterated by Ohio State. Give me the Fighting Jayhawks. I think they get their second win and probably their only other win of the season. I think they cover the 2.5. They take care of Rutgers at home. Elsewhere in the Big 12, it's Duke at Baylor. Baylor, 6-point favorites in this one. Big game for the Bears and Matt Rhule, in my opinion. I said in our Baylor preview, this would be the one to circle in the non-conference. I figured they'd beat Abilene Christian and UTSA. Can they beat Duke, get some momentum going into Big 12 play? 6-point favorites at home feels a little bit high. I'm going to go Duke in this one. I think there's a good chance they win. They steal this game on the road. Baylor still has question marks defensively. They gave up 27 to Abilene Christian. They gave up 20 last week to UTSA. I think Baylor probably squeaks out a tight win, but I'll take the 6 points and Duke to cover in that one. Elsewhere in the Big 12, Houston at Texas Tech. Basically a pick 'em here. The Cougars getting 1-point favorites. A massive win over Khalil Tate in Arizona on Saturday. Just knocked the brooms off of Kevin Sumlin's group. By the way, Sumlin and those boys, they're off to a rough start out there in Tucson. Got to turn that thing around really quickly if they want to be a factor in the Pac-12 South. Texas Tech bouncing back after their loss to Ole Miss. They took care of Lamar 77-0. Obviously got things going offensively. Man, this is a tough one. I'm going to take Houston on the road, though, and mostly just because they have at least a win against a quality opponent. Texas Tech was not impressive against Ole Miss. Ed Oliver is going to be a handful. I still don't love the quarterback situation there in Lubbock. I think Houston redeems their loss to Tech last year. They go on the road. They take this one in Lubbock against the Red Raiders. Also in the Big 12, let's go to Ames, Iowa. Number 5, Oklahoma on the road. Their first game without Rodney Anderson to take on Iowa State, the Cyclones. Looking to bounce back after a rough offensive showing up there in Kinnick Stadium against Iowa when they lost 13-3. OU getting 17.5 in this one. They're 17.5-point favorites. Kyler Murray off to a red-hot start. He's square in the Heisman race early on in the season. Trey Sermon going to plug in. He'll be the feature back with Rodney Anderson out. They got a couple of other guys in the mix. 17.5 feels high, though. And I know this Oklahoma offense is humming, but I fully expect Iowa State to bounce back a little bit offensively. Kyle Kemp is expected to play with the knee injury. He went down against Iowa. I think David Montgomery will be more of a factor after the Hawkeyes shut him down. I don't think Iowa State's going to win, but 17.5 on the road, plus it's an 11 a.m. kick in Ames. I'll take Iowa State to cover that one. Another game of the Big 12, number 24, Oklahoma State, taking on 17th-ranked Boise State. This is probably the sneaky best game of the day, games that are under the radar that isn't getting enough recognition. Cowboys off to a good start. Two easy wins in the early going. Boise State, veteran quarterback Brett Rypien. He's been there forever. They got a good defense. Oklahoma State, 2.5-point favorites in Stillwater. This is a tough one to pick because Oklahoma State hasn't been tested. They've been able to throw it all over the yard. Justice Hill has had limited carries as they've tried to preserve him for games like this. Fully expect him to get 25 touches. It's going to come down to turnovers. Can Taylor Cornelius, the former walk-on at Oklahoma State, he'll face an actual defense here. Can he continue to make the plays he's been making in the passing game? 2.5-point favorites. I'm going to go Boise on the road. That's a veteran team. I think not only do they cover the 2.5, they probably take this one. And unfortunately, the Big 12 doesn't get a marquee win in the non-conference here. I'll take the Broncos getting this one at Oklahoma State. On paper, coming into the season, this was one of the big non-conference games in college football. These two teams are trending down right now, and that's number 22 USC at Texas. Horns getting 3.5-point favorites. That should tell you all you need to know. Ignore that 22 next to USC's name. They have no business being ranked. They just got handled by Stanford 17-3, and it really wasn't that close. Stanford got a lead and really coasted from there. They've got issues offensively. JT Daniels, young quarterback at USC, still trying to get his feet wet. Texas, the issues are well documented with Ellinger at quarterback and their issues on offense and defensively. Couldn't put away a pretty average Tulsa team last week. Man, Horns getting 3.5 at home. I don't like either of these teams, but I'll reluctantly take USC just because I think they have a little more talent there. Texas should not be favored really against any quality teams at all. The fact that they're 3.5-point favorites against USC, I'll take the Trojans in this one. I could see either this game going a million ways. I'll say the Trojans sneak one out on the road. Give me USC to win in Austin on Saturday night. Game of the weekend, no doubt. Number 4 Ohio State, number 15 TCU playing just down the road in Jerry World. Ohio State, though, 13-point favorites. Vegas not big believers in the Horned Frogs in this one. Bucks, we mentioned it earlier when we were looking ahead to this game. Dwayne Haskins at quarterback looks like an upgrade from JT Barrett with the vertical passing game. You got Weber, you got Dobbins, Bosa on the defensive end. He might be the best defensive player in the country for TCU. How can Sean Robinson and this offensive line combat Ohio State's defense? I think that's the key, along with the first 8 to 10 minutes in the game. Can TCU keep in touch early in this one as Ohio State will try to get an early lead? I'm going to take TCU, though. 13 points. I know Ohio State's going to have more fans down here just because their fan base travels well. They have a larger alumni group, obviously. But I just think 13 points is big against a Gary Patterson team. I know the Buckeyes have a little bit more talent. I don't know if it's 2 touchdowns more, though. If Robinson doesn't make any catastrophic mistakes, I think TCU can definitely keep this game close. I'll take the Horned Frogs. I think Ohio State probably wins this one maybe by 10 points, but 13 is just a little much for me. I'll take TCU to cover in this one. Got 3 games nationally, not involving the Big 12 I want to get to. Number 12, LSU at number 7, Auburn. I think coming into the year, LSU was kind of the under-the-radar team in the SEC West. Didn't know how Joe Burrow would plug in at quarterback. The Ohio State transfer hasn't been super explosive, but he's been steady, and that's what LSU has needed. Auburn obviously had the big win over Washington as their schedule continues to stiffen. Auburn getting 10 points at home. I like LSU in this one. I think this is a low-scoring game. Whatever the over-under is, take the under. I don't know if LSU is going to win, but I think they can keep it within 10 points. If you can go, I'm not, you know, encouraging gambling, but if you can get this game at 10 points, take LSU. I think LSU keeps this game very close. Wouldn't even shock me if they stole one on the road. You know they're going to be able to run the football. Jarrett Stidham at times has been prone to mistakes. He made a couple big ones against LSU last year when LSU won this game. And I think this LSU team is better than last year's LSU team. Get me LSU. They cover the 10 points, no problem. Number 1 Alabama at Ole Miss. Crimson Tide getting 21 points. We'll see what Ole Miss brings to the table. They lost this game 66-3 last year in Tuscaloosa. You think they're going to be motivated? I think so. Jordan Tamu, the quarterback out there in Oxford, he's a pretty good one. People don't know about him. Torched Texas Tech a couple of weeks ago. 21 points. Man, I'm still going to take Alabama to cover because I think Tua Tagovailoa is really good. And the problem with Ole Miss is they just don't play any defense. They gave up 41 points to an FCS school this past week. Texas Tech moved the ball decently against them. I'll take Alabama to cover. It won't be like last year. It was 66-3. Ole Miss will score some points, but Alabama's just going to overwhelm them athletically. Give me the Crimson Tide to cover in that one. And last game of the day, a little Pac-12 after dark action. Number 10, Washington at Utah. Huskies getting 6.5. I love Utah in this. Wouldn't shock me if they won. They've given Washington problems over the past couple of years. Jake Browning has not played his best games against Utah. I know Utah's upset them or been really close to upsetting them a couple of times. Wouldn't shock me if Utah got the best of Washington on Saturday night. 6.5, too big of a number. I think, like LSU and Auburn, this is going to be a low-scoring game. Give me Utah, especially late night at home. That crowd will be into it. Give me Utah to cover and perhaps even steal this one and knocking Washington completely out of the playoff race in week three. So those are my picks, a little rapid fire. I got Kansas over Rutgers. Iowa State covers the 17.5 against Oklahoma. Duke covers against Baylor. Houston takes care of business against Texas Tech in what's virtually a pick 'em. Boise State cover, they win on the road in Stillwater. I got USC over Texas. TCU covers the 13 over Ohio State. LSU covers the 10 against Auburn. Alabama covers despite being 21-point favorites against Ole Miss. And Utah covers despite being 6.5-point dogs at home to number 10 Washington. So that's going to wrap things up here on episode 8 of the Four Verticals podcast. Always fun doing it. We'll be back next week breaking down week 3, looking ahead to week 4, and making those picks yet again. So plug that in. It'll be out sometime next Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, usually out sometime in the middle of the week. Interact with me on Twitter at Harrison1033. And before we sign off, yet again, you're going to see it on Saturdays. If you're ever in doubt, always go deep.